Lord, we do just ask and pray that as we come before your word this morning, that you would open it to us, help us to understand it, but help us, Lord, also to apply it to our lives. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Think for a moment about loyalty. I think it is a very rare virtue today. Whether people are loyal to marriage partners, you just look at the divorce rate in our world today and how unfaithful and unloyal people are to one another. Perhaps loyalty to a particular brand or a particular product. We just don't have that anymore. In the old days, if you drove a Ford, you always drove a Ford. But today, people will just chop and change according to the best deal that you had. We have no more loyalty to our employers, and seldom, if ever, we see loyalty to pretty much anything else. Even within Christian circles, loyalty falls flat. We make commitments to one another, and we fail to deliver them. We move from church to church according to what our religious fancy takes. We hop from one religious idea to the next. In this passage here in Psalm 119 from 113, I believe that the psalmist here is talking about loyalty and judgment. He's not speaking specifically here of just loyalty to one way of thing, but loyalty to the Lord God himself. Last week, if you were with us, you will recall that we looked at verses 105 to 112 of this psalm, where we saw that the psalmist wanted to live according to God's light, with God's word shining the way for him to walk in this world. He realized that we walk in a world that is filled with sinful people, filled with darkness, and he realized that he constantly needs the light of God's word to shine the way for him. This morning, as we come to talk about loyalty and judgment, I've got three comments that I want to make. My first comment is a love-hate relationship. Have a look here at the contrast that the psalmist paints for us in verse 113. He actually starts off quite strongly. I hate double-minded people. I hate the double-minded men, he says, but I love your law. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and saying, what? How can the Bible speak about hating men and then in the next few verses or even in the next few books speak about the fact that all of us must love one another? Even Jesus spoke about that the greatest command is this: love the Lord your God and love one another. So what is going on here? What is the psalmist? How can the psalmist say, I hate double-minded men? And that's where I believe it's important that we understand what the psalmist is trying to get at. We were always taught at Bible college, and because the Bible is God's word, because it is infallible, and that is means without error, if we think something is contradicting something else, then it means that we do not understand what has been written here. And so let's have a look and see what is going on. How can the psalmist say, I hate double-minded men, but Jesus says that we should love all men? Well, again, looking at verse 113, also look at 115, where the psalmist says, not only does he hate the double-minded, but he says, away from me, you evil doers. The one he hates, the other he wants nothing to do with. It doesn't quite sound Christian to me. So what's going on here? Well, this is the crux, and remember, we've got to read this passage within the context of the greater chapter and the greater book and the Bible. And remembering that the psalmist has just spoken about the fact, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet. In other words, God lights the way for him to walk, just like the headlights on our cars light the way for us to drive at night time. So God's word is what keeps us driving on the road of Christianity. And so as the psalmist has just said that, he now realizes that he can be influenced by many people to turn off the road of Christianity. And so he speaks of the double-minded, those who perhaps have a foot in both camps. That is, that the psalmist is saying here, he hates those who live in the world, but also claim to follow Jesus Christ. He hates the double-minded, those people who, when they are with people who don't go to church, behave like people who don't go to church, and when they are with Christians, they behave like Christians. What the psalmist is saying here is that someone has split loyalties. Their affections, their loyalties are split between this wicked world and the Christian world. And he is saying that as a true Christian, we cannot be split between those two. We have to make a choice. Either we are following the ways of the world, or we are following the ways of God. We cannot follow both ways. And that's what he means here when he says, I hate the double-minded. He hates the fact that they are sinning, yet they claim to follow Christ. And so I suppose in one way we could say that he hates the sin of the double-minded men or people. And you see the contrast that he's bringing here. He hates on the one side, but what is it that he loves? Again, verse 113, he hates those who are God's enemies. In other words, he doesn't want to follow them, but he chooses to love God. Verse 113, but I love your law. He carries on in verse 114, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. And then he continues, that I may keep the commands of my God. You see, friends, if we want to follow the Lord, if we claim to follow the Lord Jesus himself, then we are to be like the psalmist here. We are to be different from those around us in our behavior. We are to rid our lives of things that cause us to fall away from God. We are to be different in the way we talk, whether that's by using swear words, whether it's by gossiping. We are to be different. And the way we behave, our actions are to be different. So the psalmist is adamant here that if we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ like he wants us to, we are not to follow the ways of the world. But let me just make one comment here before we move on to the next section. And that is just to say, is the psalmist saying here that we must now isolate ourselves from the world? That we must have nothing to do with anybody who doesn't go to church? Well, we might pick up that from this particular passage, but if we read the whole Bible, we will realize that that is not what God is actually saying to us. A 19th century theologian was thought to have said that as a Christian, we are like a ship sailing in the sea. And this theologian went on to say, the ship is in the sea, but woe betide the ship if the sea gets into the ship. Does it make sense? You see, it's fine for a ship to sail on the sea. And that's what we are like as a Christian. We are a Christian on the sea, or the wicked world. And it's fine for us to be there. In fact, we are encouraged to be there. And what is a ship if it's not on the sea? Well, it's just a chunk of wood and fiberglass and metal. The only useful purpose of a ship is to be on the water. But if that water gets into the ship, we all know what happens. And that's what it's like as a Christian. We are in this world. We are a Christian, and we are to stay following the Lord. Let's not let the world get inside us, because if it does, just like a ship, we will sink. You see, we are in this world, but it must not influence us. We must engage with the world, but it must not change our behavior. John tells us in chapter 15 and verse 19 that we are of this world, but we must not be, but the world must not be in us. That's John 15, verse 19. Do you see what the psalmist is saying here? And this is what he's meaning. He doesn't mean that we go around and hate everybody and shoot them and do all sorts of horrible things to them. But he's saying, I hate the way that they live. I do not want to be part of it. I want to live according to the ways of God. You see that love-hate relationship that we have there. But that's not where the psalmist finishes off. And he realizes that the only way to ensure that God is our strength and our refuge, as he says there in verse 14, is to remain true to his word. Now that is really hard. You and I know that. I know that. That as we try to spend time with the Lord Jesus, lots of things encroach on that. It is hard to constantly be looking to Jesus. It's hard not to be influenced by the world. And so the psalmist then goes into a prayer, and this is my second comment. Keep me safe, I pray. Verses 116 and 17. See, it's all too easy to go with the flow of our non-Christian friends. It's all too easy to follow the mindset and the mentality of the world. But we need God to help us in order to keep us close to Him. That, friends, is what we as Christians call God's grace. God wants us to come to Him, but God helps us to come to Him. Perhaps a small illustration of this is that in school, when a child is struggling, especially in an exam, a student might put up their hand and say, "Ma'am or sir, what are they trying to ask you?" And the teacher might take a moment or two to explain that question without giving away too many answers, but to explain that question so that they can understand it. And friends, that's in a way what it's like having God with us. God wants us to come to Him. Our teachers want us to pass the exam, and so they will help us to do so. Now, I know that illustration falls short of God, but that's the idea. You see, look what the psalmist says in verse 116 and 117. In fact, this is a little prayer that he prays. Sustain me according to your promise, and I shall live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I shall be delivered. I shall always have regard for your decrees. The psalmist realizes that the only way that he is able to sustain his walk with the Lord is by asking God to help him. He realizes that he is susceptible to following the ways of the double-minded and the wicked. He accepts that it is hard to follow the laws of God and to put his hope and his trust in God's word. And he admits that he needs God's help. You see, friends, in our world today, which is a world all about me, about you, it's all about making myself the most important person in the world. That's the attitude of the world. The idea is that I do everything in my own strength. But friends, as a Christian, we cannot do things in our own strength. We cannot keep following the Lord in our own strength. We have to have Him helping us. And that means, friends, that if you or I are only occasionally looking into God's Word, if we are only occasionally meeting with God's people, how can we ever hope to live for God? That's why we need God's help. Sure, life is busy. But this world is busy. If we do not intentionally make time for God and make time to ask God to help us, well, friends, then we're going to be ending up like the double-minded and the wicked. You see, friends, our prayer, along with the psalmist's prayer, should be, God, sustain us according to your promise. The promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you, or any other such promise. Sustain me, Lord. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Although this world is all around me, although people are attacking me from all sides, do not let my hopes be dashed. Help me always to have regard for your decrees. That's why James in the New Testament urges us to persevere in our Christian walk. This is why Paul tells us that it's important and hard work to follow Jesus. We must continue at that. And friends, it's only through the grace of God that we are given the ability to preserve this life. So friends, when last did you or I ask God to help us, to hold us, to sustain us in our daily lives as we face the double-minded, as we face the wicked? But the psalmist doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't just say, oh, I hate the wicked, I love God, help me God. But he puts another comment in here, and this is the reality of life. My third point, let me see reality. As I began this talk, I spoke briefly about loyalty and how few people seem loyal today. As Christians, I mentioned that we need to strive to be loyal to Jesus in this life. But before we are tempted to think that the wicked are better off than us, the psalmist asks God to remind him of the true reality of life. You see, perhaps as you and I look around town, as we look at our friends, as we look at our neighbors, as we look at our colleagues, it seems that those who don't follow the Lord seem to have everything going for them. They've got the latest car. They've got a nice house. They seem to always have enough money. They eat better than we do. Their health seems to be better than ours. And it's possible that we might even be thinking that they seem to have things better than us. But what is the ultimate reality? Look what the psalmist says, and really brings us to ground here, verse 118. He says, God, you reject all who stray from your decrees, for their deceitfulness is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Do you know what dross is? Simply, dross is something that is thrown away like a piece of rubbish. It's unwanted. The psalmist understands the reality of the world. A reality which is not what it seems to the naked eye. Our reality of the world seems that the wicked seem to prosper. And in fact, the writer of Proverbs says that. The writer of Ecclesiastes says that. even some of the New Testament writers mention that it seems that the wicked prosper. But here's the reality, friends. A reality that supersedes everything that goes on in this world. The ultimate reality, if you like. That if you fail to uphold the ways of God, if you fail to hate the sin of the double-minded and of the wicked, if you fail to be different from the ways of this world, you will be wiped off the face of the earth like a piece of unwanted rubbish. I don't think he could get blunter than that, could he? A reality that says God will reject all, despite wealth and influence, who stray from his decrees. God's promise to us is that if we turn to him, he will forgive us. If we acknowledge our sinfulness, he will forgive us of our sin, and we will have eternal life. So we need to pray hard that God would sustain us according to his promise. Look at the reaction of the psalmist to the reality of the world. Verse 120. My flesh trembles in awe of your laws. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. You see, friends, reality should shake us awake. If we fail to follow the Lord, if we think it's okay to have one foot in the world and one foot with God, if we think it's okay to come to church periodically and start our week off on a good foot, but the rest of the time follow the Lord, friends, the reality is God will judge us and we will be discarded. Our deceitfulness will be in vain. So no matter how much you own or how little you own, no matter how healthy you are or unhealthy you are, no matter how high up in business you got or are, makes no difference if we fail to love God's law, if we fail to love God himself. And the psalmist trembles as he thinks about the alternate reality. As Christians, we have eternal life. The alternate reality, yeah, that should scare us, and scare us big time. Christopher Ashe, in his book on Psalm 119, he quotes from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, but puts it in his own words, and he says this: the judgment of God is a terrible thing. And in quoting Hebrews 2, he says, so how shall we escape if we neglect, if we fall away from such a great salvation? You see, God is both someone who we can put our trust and our refuge in, but also someone to be feared if we step outside of and stray from his ways. In a way, it's a bit like a school principal, isn't it? If you do well at school, if you behave according to the school rules, if you listen to the principal and do what he says, generally you will have a good relationship with the principal. But if, on the other hand, you disobey the rules of the school, if you do your own thing, if you fail to listen to the principal of the school, then he is someone to be feared. Or at least he was in my day, when you could go to his office and get six of the best. But of course, God is way bigger than just a school principal. He's way more powerful than a principal. He helps us to follow him so that we might be with him. But if we're on his wrong side, then we should be trembling. So perhaps the question that we need to ask this morning as we pull things together is, do you and I feel this healthy terror of God? Or are we lulled into a cozy cooperation with the world, thinking and trying to fit in rather than standing out? Is there more water in our boat than the Lord? Do we try to be one of the boys or girls and be accepted by the crowd rather than make a stand for Christ? Are we a ship sailing on the sea, but the sea is getting into us? This, friends, is why we need to daily be reflecting on God's word. Why we need to regularly be encouraging one another as we meet together on Sundays, at Bible studies, and at other events that we might have in the church. But this is also why we need to be praying for God to help us daily in our lives, to give us His grace, to sustain us, to uphold us. You see, because God discards the wicked, and seeing and God gives us help, let's follow Him. Let's stay close to Him as we go in this world. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for showing us that it is important that we follow You, that we should really hate the ways of the wicked, that we should hate the ways of the double-minded, and that we should love Your ways. Lord, thank You that we can turn to You and ask for Your help to sustain us, to uphold us. But Lord, we also pray and ask that You would help us to remember the ultimate reality of this world. That although it seems like the wicked prosper, we know, Lord, that one day they will be discarded like rubbish. Lord, help us to stand for You, to stand true for You, to be loyal to You. And we pray this in Your name. Amen.